Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, July the 21st, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today of your word, to take a look at the things that you've shown us in advance so that we might be prepared for the time to come. We ask that you would continue to give us the strength that is necessary so that we might walk according to your will in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today I'd like to continue taking a look at some of the things we were looking at in our last session. In our last session, we were taking a look at the fact that the government of the United States of America, that would be specifically the Trump administration, has been collecting a number of medicines that are directly related to the coronavirus, COVID-19. And we made the point that there are some nations in the world that are very jealous about that, the fact that the United States of America seems to be buying up all of these things. In order to establish or to let you know that this is coming from them, essentially, I thought I would begin today's session with an article found in the Health and Human Services government website. That's the hhs.gov website. Again, the website is the government's website, the hhs.gov website, and HHS stands for Health and Human Services. The article was published on June the 29th, 2020, and the title of the article that has been published and released by the Health and Human Services of the government says, Trump administration secures new supplies of remdesivir for the United States. So this is not someone who is just making a story up, but rather this is a release from the Health and Human Services Department, published June the 29th, 2020. The title again, Trump administration secures new supplies of remdesivir for the United States. It's a brief article. Let me just go through it really quickly for you. It says, on Monday, the Department of Health and Human Services announced an agreement to secure large supplies of the drug remdesivir for the United States from Gilead Science. Remember, we mentioned that in the other articles that we read yesterday. Through September, allowing American hospitals to purchase the drug in amounts allocated by HHS, that's the Health and Human Services.gov, and state health departments. President Trump has struck an amazing deal to ensure Americans have access to the first authorized therapeutic drug for COVID-19, says HHS Secretary Alex Azar. To the extent possible, we want to ensure that any American patient who needs remdesivir can get it. The Trump administration is doing everything in our power, says Alex Azar, to learn more about life-saving therapeutics for COVID-19 and secure access to these options for the American people. HHS has secured more than, listen to this now, 500,000 treatment courses of the drug for American hospitals through September. This represents 100% of Gilead's projected production for July. Of course, in the other articles that we read, it also mentioned that same percentage, 100% of Gilead's projected production. All right, continuing, 90% of production in August and 94,200 in July. All right. In September, they are hoping to be able to produce 232,800 treatment courses in addition to an allocation for clinical trials. A treatment course of remdesivir is on average 6.25 vials. So now we're getting this information from the government website And they are saying that they are the ones who are doing this, and they are getting 100% of Gilead's projection production. All right, continue. Hospitals will receive the product shipped by American source Bergen and will pay no more than Gilead's wholesale acquisition price, which amounts approximately $3,200 per treatment course. All right, now that's quite a price. That's $3,200 per treatment course. Again, let me see, I'm getting this from the HHS department, okay? Generally, patients do not pay directly for hospital administered drugs like remdesivir. Rather, for Medicare and most private insurers, the drug's cost is incorporated into payments made by the insurer, such as Medicare paying for the drug through a diagnostic-related group. These supplies will be allocated in the same way that Gilead's donation of approximately 120,000 treatment courses of remdesivir were allocated. HHS allocates product to state and territorial health departments based on COVID-19 hospital burden, and health departments allocate it to hospitals. The delivery of the purchased remdesivir will be streamlined, going directly to the hospital per the state's allocation decision, rather than going first to the state health departments for subsequent delivery to hospitals. Shipments will likely occur every 2 weeks as they have with the donated products. The final allocation of Gilead's approximately 122,000 donated treatment courses is being shipped today. And of course, the date they have on this article is June the 29th. Well, I just thought I'd start with that article today just to show you that the articles that we read the day before yesterday, they did not come from some questionable source or made up by some individuals. There is another article quite like this, and this one is found in the New York Times. And this one was published on June the 16th, 2020. The writer of the article is Cheryl Gay Stolberg. Last name is spelled S-T-O-L-B-E-R-G. And the title of the article, a mad scramble to stock millions of malaria pills, likely for nothing. Let me read the title again for you. A mad scramble to stock millions of malaria pills, likely for nothing. Now, of course, this is coming with the authority of Dr. Stephen Hahn, the commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration. And this is a part of the briefing that took place with the president in March. And he's also supposed to testify before House Committee next week. Well, that would be the week after June the 16th. All right, here's some of that article. The Food and Drug Administration abrupt decision this week to revoke an emergency waiver for two malaria drugs promoted by President Trump as potential game changers against the coronavirus has left 66 million doses stranded in the federal stockpile, and officials do not yet know what they will do with them. The FDA's withdrawal on Monday of its emergency use authorization for chloroquine and hydrochloroquine did not go over well at the White House, where top aides to Mr. Trump had rushed in March to fill the federal stockpile. That included accepting a donation from the pharmaceutical giant Bayer of 3 million tablets from a factory in Pakistan that had not been certified by the FDA as safe. Medical experts across the country, including those who are researching hydrochloroquine, on Tuesday applauded the FDA's withdrawal of the waiver after it concluded that the drug's potential benefits did not outweigh their risks. An FDA spokesperson said the White House and Health and Human Service Secretary Alex Azar was made aware of the decision before it was announced. But Mr. Navarro's anger seemed to capture the futility of the administration's headlong effort to yield to the president's wishes and rush the two drugs into use. Yet another example of how politics and science have collided in this White House. Besides Mr. Navarro, the internal debate over the malaria drugs included a well-known cast of characters. Mr. Trump, who took hydrochlorazine for 2 weeks and insisted on Monday that it certainly didn't hurt me. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the government's top infectious disease expert. Rick Bright, who said he was ousted from his position as head of a federal research agency after complaining that Bayer's chloroquine was not safe, and various Fox News personalities. They had a flimsy basis for the EUA in the first place. Dr. Peter Lurie, the president of the Center for Science at the Public Interest, said, using the abbreviation for Emergency Use Authorization, "It's quite clear they were strong-armed into it by Navarro himself and others, not excluding radio, television talk hosts, and the president's pals and some doctors in New York. And now they've got mud on their faces because they've belatedly come to their senses and done the right thing." In the end, none of chloroquine was ever distributed from the stockpile. Doctors preferred hydrochlorazine, which is newer and has fewer side effects, they say. But its prospects as a treatment for COVID-19 also looks dim. As of Monday, the government has distributed 31 million tablets of hydrochlorazine to state and local health departments, hospitals, and research institutions. 63 million tablets remain, according to Carol Danko, a spokeswoman for the Department of Health and Human Services. Officials are working with the companies that donate the drugs to determine the available options for the products. Dr. Bright, writing on Twitter on Monday night, offered his own idea. The drugs should never have been brought into our country and should be destroyed. It took far too long for HHS to revoke this order. The frantic effort that led the FDA's emergency waiver began in mid-March, just days after Mr. Trump declared the coronavirus pandemic a national emergency. According to email from Dr. Bright's whistleblower complaint, some not previously made public, as well as interviews with people involved, they did this hoping that they would have enough drugs to meet the challenge. Patients lay dying on gurneys in hospital corridors in New York. Governors pleaded with the federal government to send masks and other supplies, and physicians had no treatments. A French doctor, Didier Raoul, stroked interest in that hydrochlorazine with a video promoting it for COVID-19. A cryptocurrency investor, James Todaro, and a New York lawyer, Gregory Regano, wrote a paper about the drugs, which took off on Twitter, prompting the Fox News host Laurie Ingraham to invite Mr. Regano to appear on her show. In New York, Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, a self-described simple country doctor, was giving coronavirus patients a three-drug cocktail that included the hydrochlorazine and claiming that all had survived without need for hospitalization. With the Republican right, including Mrs. Ingraham, Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, and other Fox News personalities promoting hydrochlorazine, Mr. Trump chimed in. By March the 17th, Bayer had offered the White House 3 million doses of chloroquine, which was covered in the 1930s and is derived from the bark of the quinine tree. Some versions of chloroquine are approved in the United States. Bayer's was not. Top officials at the Dr. Bright's former agency, known as the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, or BARCA, were not enthusiastic. They were not enthusiastic about the donation because they felt it would not work. Not a lot of enthusiasm based on just vitro data, said Robert Johnson, an agency official, And he wrote in an email to top aide, Dr. Robert Kandek, the Assistant Secretary of Health for Preparedness and Response, that this should be at least tried. Chloroquine has been shown to have in vitro effects on other microbes, but that has not panned out to clinical benefits. Dr. Kandek and his aides, however, were insistent, the email shows, that they should be tried. They wanted the chloroquine donation distributed widely as part of a clinical trial that would be sponsored, with the National Institutes of Health providing the ethics panel known as the Institutional Review Board, overseeing the trial. At the same time, the technology giant Oracle was developing a platform that the White House hoped could serve as a vehicle for doctors to enter data about the drug. On March the 23rd, the FDA's top lawyer, Stacey Amend, dashed off an urgent email. Can we please start moving forward on the BARDA sponsoring the chloroquine drug, she wrote, referring to an investigational new drug. Documents that accompany a new clinical trial would be useful. The president is announcing this tonight, and I believe that the World Health Organization would like it set up by tomorrow, with data to flow into the Oracle platform, she added. By that time, other companies had donated tens of millions of tablets to the hydrochloroquine, which is approved in the United States and often used for treat lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, and other antimony disorders, as well as malaria prevention. So you see here now, they had gone ahead and collected all of these drugs, all of these pills, 66 million of them, only to discover that they were not as effective as they hoped they might be. And remember what we said in our articles yesterday. The point being made yesterday is that the United States of America, because of her access to these corporations, have been able to garner and gather together large quantities of these drugs into this country, short selling all of the other nations that might need them. You and I need to understand that this will continue. As a matter of fact, it is pretty clear that there are many, many medical individuals out there who have been experimenting with using certain kinds of drugs where the COVID-19 is concerned. But there has not been ultimate and absolute proof that any of these drugs will work as yet. Some of the drugs, based on the articles that we've been reading here, revealed that there's been a slowdown, or at least a survival rate where some are concerned. But the actual removal of the symptoms is not yet determined by any of these drugs. What the medical field is stuck with here is a brand new virus, something that they have never met before, that looks like something they have seen before, but then really not that absolutely sure beyond the shadow of a doubt that they have the answers for this. And of course, we've been warned that Satan has studied the laboratories of nature, and he's able to blow into the air, and all kinds of diseases and illnesses come upon the earth, and large cities are destroyed. And the Spirit of Prophecy makes the point over and over again that these illnesses will become more intense and more frequent as time progresses, which means that you and I need to place ourselves in God's hand and make sure that we understand who God is and trust Him to protect us and to bring us back from the brink of illness. We are here this day as a witness for Him. And not only should be witnessed verbally, but our lives and the choices that we make are an important witness also for our Lord and Savior. And so today I'm encouraging you to trust in Him as we look around us and we see in every nation, there are those who are rushing into the laboratories, attempting to do everything they know how to do in order to solve this major global problem. When in actual fact, as I said before, Satan has indeed studied the laboratories of nature, and he's come up with something that will slow down the progress of God's word in the world. But I want you to understand that he will not be successful where this is concerned, because God has the power to overcome all of what the enemy has done and is attempting to do. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue to trust you implicitly. We know that you know better than anyone what this illness is and how it can be overcome. We place ourselves in your care today, asking that you would help us to focus on being ready for all that is to come, recognizing that this is just the beginning of sorrows. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, July the 21st, 2020.